You're listening to SBS News.
Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We're coming up to 1 year since the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. It's been a hell of a year for people who live in that country. Take us through that. What are some of the main challenges and how has life changed in that time?
Well, Afghanistan, even before August 15 last year, was a very difficult place to live. There were no end of economic challenges, natural disasters and poverty. But since August 15, when international donors pressed pause on the aid and the sanctions kicked in, life has become more difficult for the people of Afghanistan, especially the children. So right now we have 24 million people in need of urgent humanitarian aid and 13 million children who need urgent help. On top of that, we are experiencing the worst drought Afghanistan has had for 37 years. That is causing a malnutrition crisis. So we've got 3 million children acutely malnourished, 1 million of which are at risk of severe acute malnutrition, which means they could die unless they get urgent therapeutic food. As well as that, we're seeing a very alarming rollback of rights for girls and women. Girls from grade 7 to grade 12 are no longer allowed to attend secondary school, which is of huge concern as well. And then because of the compromised health system, we're seeing the spread of preventable childhood diseases. Things like measles, acute watery diarrhea, cholera are killing children.
Sam, tell me about the work you do with UNICEF. Of course, you have your sights always trained on the most vulnerable. You mentioned children. Mm-hmm. How has day-to-day life changed for a kid in Afghanistan?
It's really challenging. Afghanistan has been called one of the toughest places on earth to be a child. When I go out and about around the country, when we're talking to mothers and families, on one hand, they'll say, you know, it's great that UNICEF has opened a community-based class in the village, but when my child wakes up in the morning, there's no breakfast. And I beg the neighbours for food. They don't have food. So my son or my daughter goes to school crying with hunger. And if a child is going to school crying with hunger, that's a child that's not going to be learning well. So there's hunger. There are 4 million children out of school. There are children in hospital with complications arising because they're drinking contaminated water. 8 out of 10 Afghans are drinking water contaminated with bacteria. So UNICEF is battling to give them aqua tabs and truck in water. This is all happening because of the drought.
The kids are hungry when they go to school, mm-hmm. but that's if they get to go to school.
Yes.
What's the situation like for girls?
Well, we've got around 1 million high school age girls affected by the decision of March 23 that wouldn't let them go back to secondary school. But even before that, we had 4 million children out of school and 60% of them were girls. But UNICEF is here on the ground and we have a programme of community-based classes. These are small classes that can open in neighbourhoods, maybe in mosques, in tents, in somebody's front room even. And they follow the Ministry of Education curriculum. They're taught by Ministry of Education trained teachers. And they're a great way to encourage girls into school and to build confidence amongst parents that their girls are safe when they learn. We've got around 10,000 of these classes up and running at the moment. And by the end of the year, we'll have 15,000.
That's quite amazing. Sam, we hear about things like the global supply chain problems affecting countries like us here in Australia. But how does that play out on the ground in Afghanistan, one of the worst affected nations on earth when it comes to something like food insecurity?
Absolutely. Well, last year we had a terrible harvest because of the drought. We're looking at a similar situation this year. There's a shortage of food. There are high food prices. People just don't have money to buy food. And we think that in the coming months, what you're talking about is going to affect Afghanistan and we're going to see steadily rising prices. So right now, at the moment, UNICEF is working hard to bring in as much aid as possible, including packages of ready-to-use therapeutic food, the peanut paste that saves the lives of children who are severely acutely malnourished, and we're stockpiling that in our warehouses all over the country to alleviate another malnutrition crisis.
Sam, almost a year ago, we of course saw those terrible scenes at Kabul Airport. There was that crush of people trying to leave, to evacuate, that mass exodus to get out of Afghanistan. Why did you stay?
I stayed because this is what UNICEF does. We go into the areas where there is political insecurity, where there are social and economic challenges. And one of the reasons I stayed is because we have such a strong relationship with the people, the children, the families in Afghanistan. UNICEF has been there for over 70 years. We have a lot of trust built in the communities. And one of the things that touched me most this time last year was when we went out after the Afghan people had seen so many people evacuate, we would come into communities and the first thing they would say is, UNICEF is here. You didn't leave us. If UNICEF is here, it's going to be okay. And when somebody tells you that and you know the challenges that they're facing, you feel a huge responsibility to be there for them and to do your best for them.
And I know that you're heading back there this week, aren't you?
Yes, back on Friday.
For you, as a British woman, I'm assuming that you've been brought up to expect certain liberties and freedoms. They are our basic human rights. So what's it actually like to have some of that eroded, to have that erased from your life when you're living under Taliban rule?
Well, first of all, it makes you really appreciative of the society and the culture that you grew up in. Mm-hmm. It reminds you not to take any of these things for granted and that they are hard fought for wins. And it makes you even more determined to work, even in challenging political circumstances, to advocate for the girls and women who perhaps don't have the voice that they used to have, because we are their last best chance. And we're advocating with the de facto authorities every day to get girls back into school and so that girls and women across Afghanistan can have the freedoms that are their right.
I last spoke to you, Sam, when the Taliban was just sweeping into power in mm-hmm. Afghanistan. I remember our conversation well. Things were looking grim there. I would say that they've gotten even worse. Do you hold out hope for Afghanistan that things can be turned around?
UNICEF is in the business of cautious optimism, and we will continue to work for the children, for the girls, for the mothers, and the families of Afghanistan. We cannot give up hope. We will not give up hope, and we will do our best until we see all girls back in school, where we see children with full stomachs going to school, where we see children vaccinated. We're very close to eradicating polio, for example, in Afghanistan. And, we're doing a lot in difficult circumstances, and because we are there doing that, we keep on doing more.
Thank you so much. We know that Afghanistan has fallen out of the headlines, but the crisis, as you say, is very real and something that people deal with day to day.
Absolutely.
Sam Mort, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.